I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. After winning 5 Tony Awards on Broadway, Peter and the Starcatcher is now on tour and opens 1 week from tonight at the Peabody Opera House. It's based on the best-selling book by Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson. Ridley Pearson joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Hi, Steve.
Good to see you again.
Oh, good to see you. I listen to you every day.
Every day?
Every day I can.
Well, that's nice. Thank you so much. Last time I actually saw you face-to-face, though, it's been a while, you were promoting one of your killer books, Killer View, Weekend. I'm not sure which it was.
Sure, my suspense novels. Yeah, I wrote 4 set in the Sun Valley, Idaho area.
And you were on your way to China, I think, about
yes.
the time. You spent how long there?
I spent a year there and then ended up starting a series, a suspense series set internationally. The first was in Shanghai, Risk Agent. The second was in Amsterdam, and the third's about to come out that's in Istanbul. And so that Shanghai trip ended up starting a whole new series for me.
Hmm. Well, it's about time you're back. Thanks. It's good to see you.
Thanks.
Also, we want to welcome on the phone from New York, Rick Ellis. He's the playwright who adapted the novel.
The brilliant Rick Ellis.
The brilliant. I failed to mention
sure.
that. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Ridley. How are you?
Great, Rick. Thanks.
Rick, I want to mention, and I need to mention, really, that you're also responsible for Jersey Boys, which is playing right now at the Fox around the corner.
We can't get rid of you, Rick.
How about that? You know, Ridley just emailed me this morning for tickets, so, you know, I know for sure that it's there.
So Ridley's pulling strings for free tickets?
Not free tickets, but it was funny, Rick, because we were watching TV, so TV advertising does work, because my daughter came running out of the room and said, Jersey Boys is here, Jersey Boys is here, can we go?
So
I'm so relieved.
So, Rick, with Jersey Boys closing and Starcatcher opening, you pretty much own St. Louis.
Well, you know, I guess I should come and live out there because it would make this interview so much easier.
Well, let's back up a little bit. Peter and the Starcatcher tells, I guess you'd call it the backstory of Peter Pan?
It does. It tells about how a young boy becomes the legend Peter Pan. And Dave Barry and I, the great humorist, co-wrote a novel, and Disney Editions published it, and it did very, very well. And Rick, at the time, had connections at Disney Theatrical. And Rick, weren't you actually who read it and brought it to Tom Schumacher?
Well, I think we read it about the same time. One of the things that I used to do was read scripts and novels in galley form, so that studios could bid intelligently on the hot new properties that were floating around Hollywood. And I came across this novel, read the first chapter, and got in touch with my friend Tom Schumacher and said, hey, Tom, you know, this could be like a great Nicholas Nickleby kind of stage presentation. And he said, I've just finished reading it, and I think exactly the same thing. So
wow.
It was just sort of the stars being in alignment, I guess, that helped gave Tom the impetus to get in touch with the directors and see what they could do.
One thing I wanted, before going any further, I want to ask you about, maybe this is something most people wouldn't notice, maybe it doesn't mean anything, but the book, Ridley, was Peter and the Starcatchers.
Yes.
The play is Peter and the Starcatcher without the S. So
yes.
Is that significant?
Well, it's funny because we were warned, or at least alerted by Rick and the Disney theatrical team, that they might change the title. And, of course, for authors, that can be the end of you, because your hope here is to sell some books. And so Dave and I were in somewhat of a dread position for months. And I finally received an email that had the subject line title change or something like that. And I just – my heart went – and I read down and read down and read down trying to get to the crux of the matter. And it said, so we're changing the title to Peter and the Starcatcher. And I had to read it about 3 times. I go, oh, they dropped the S. But then it made total sense, and Rick can explain why since he adapted it. But it does – it's a very logical drop.
Okay, Rick, explain.
Well, it began as a typo. as all great ideas, it began as a mistake. No, the first version of the play was called Peter and the Starcatchers. It never occurred to me to change the title to, you know, to have the moxie or the chutzpah to try to change the title. But when we first did the play in Southern California, which was way back in 2009 now, one of the things that I learned watching an audience watch the play every night was how much they seem to want the story to be focused down from this sort of group of people in hazmat suits and Geiger counters who roamed the planet as they were introduced in David Ridley's novel to something sort of more manageable and less science fiction, if you will, and more human. And so it occurred to me that restructuring the focus of the story to be about a particular young man and a particular young woman who, by the end of the play, because they've met and because of the coincidental circumstances that they of two people running into each other, who were able to accomplish something together that neither one of them would have been able to do, that the story is really about a boy and a girl. And in that sense, the title of the play could have been A Boy and a Girl. But at the end of our story, the boy has become Peter and the girl has become a star catcher. And so that sort of indicated that the simple losing of the S could make it about this particular young man and this particular young woman at the heart of the story. So it seemed like a good way to distinguish ourselves from the novel and also to focus the story in a very human way.
And, you know, the whole Peter Pan story for a long time, it's got a really long history. It's over 100 years old, and I think it was a play first, then a book,
correct,
and then your book after that.
Right. 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 Yeah. And we, Rick and I, were both part of a very early reading of the book to see if it would work for stage. And the production, it was just pages torn out of the book being performed by some college kids. And it was, we had a big long meeting at the end of it. And, you know, the authors of this kind of source material are never included. And Disney and Rick and everyone was nice enough to let us sit at the table. And we talked about the fact that in the book, the moment that really gets you and where the whole book drives toward is that you have a boy who wants to never grow up. The star stuff enables him then to never grow up. But the girl he adores is going to grow up. And that poignancy of sort of getting what you want, but it's not exactly what you want. And Rick seized on that and made that the focus of the play.
We're talking about Peter and the Starcatcher, which opens next Friday at the Peabody. On the phone from New York, playwright Rick Ellis. In the studio, Ridley Pearson, who co-authored Peter and the Starcatchers with humorist Dave Barry. And we have a little surprise. We weren't sure he was able to join us, but he can. Dave Barry is on the phone for Miami. And welcome to Cityscape, Dave.
Thanks. Have they given me pretty much credit for everything, I hope, or not?
Pretty much. It's all about
jumping in here.
It's been all about you.
We're going to have to give you the credit now that we know that you're actually listening.
Hey, Dave, I want to ask you, because I'm so glad you're able to join us. All this started, really, I guess, your collaboration. And you and Ridley have, what, written 9 or 10 books together now?
Yeah, like around there somewhere.
But it all began with music.
Well, not everyone would call it music. We are in a band. It's called the Rock Bottom Remainders, and it's an all-author band with a lot of pretty good authors, Stephen King and Scott Turow, Ridley, Greg Iles, Mitch Albom.
Amy Tan,
Roy Blunt Jr. But and the premise was that we would get a bunch of people with musical talent together to raise money for good causes. And the flaw was that it turned out there wasn't a lot of musical talent. but we all became great friends, and Ridley and I particularly. And so that really was when he came, I don't know if he told the story, he came and visited me in Miami before the Miami Book Fair and said he had this idea for this prequel. And I thought that was cool. And we both thought it was going to be this little nothing book. We didn't realize it was eventually going to involve Rick Ellis, or we never would have done it.
And my only condition was that Dave and Ridley were never around, so that I wouldn't have to mention the David.
This has been so great because the play is so terrific and it gets such wonderful reviews and all these plaudits and everything. Ridley and I really had nothing to do with it.
Zero to do with it.
Well, but we get to hang around it, you know, and that's fun. And then if it ever does get a bad review, we can always say, "Well,
Rick wrote it."
Book.
Yeah, it's Rick's fault.
Hey, yes, it's plausible. I think it's the theory of plausible deniability.
Yeah, that's us.
There are a couple of interesting elements I'd like you gentlemen to address. It's a play, although it does have a musical component. Also, it's interesting that sets are very minimal And I know this may not be as true in the touring production as it was on Broadway, but the whole using all these recycled materials,
yeah,
I think
still true.
I think on Broadway, Act Two was 90% recycled stuff. So could you address those three things? Whoever.
Well, this is Rick. I'll just dive in. The idea that the directors had at the get-go was that it would be something made with a very do-it-yourself aesthetic, and that meant that the physical production would appear to be just stuff that was lying around, because more than what the play is about in terms of plot, courtesy of Dave and Ridley, the play is at least as much about all the things that these people who love to make theater love about the theater and why they devote their lives to it. You know, the reason why we always go to see plays and musicals is in part to do with whatever the show is that we're watching, how it asks us to use our imagination. So they wanted to do something that was very simple, or at least appears to be very simple, made out of nothing, that, you know, just things that you would have lying around in a garage, which is literally where the first workshop for the play was done. So with a minimum amount of physical stuff, but with words and ideas and a great company of actors with their imaginations and using the audience's imagination to envision the things that other more extravagant productions might show you. We found a way to involve the audience in a way that's very kind of fundamental to the experience, and that they really seem to spark to everywhere the play goes. That was so the idea of recycled material was very organic to at the origin point of the play, and what's happened on tour is exactly the same, for exactly the same reason, just to show you what you can make literally out of nothing but your own commitment to a particular story and how you tell it.
And Ridley, another interesting thing, isn't it a dozen actors doing how many roles?
Yeah, it is. It's 12 actors doing 70-plus roles.
Wow.
And I think one of the things I stress when people ask me about it, I think when you hear a prequel to Peter Pan, you might think, oh, this is for my 6-year-old. But what Rick's written is a very sophisticated, very funny play for adults. And it's not that kids maybe 10 or 12 end up can't see it. But one reason the Disney D was taken off it, and it's now produced by the people who did Wicked, was to make sure that people understand this is an adult play, and it's terrific.
Before we run out of time, a couple of things I really want to touch on. Dave Barry, I want people to know that you're going to be Don Marsh's guest on St. Louis on the Air on March 18th to talk about your new book. Want to plug that for 10 seconds?
It's called You Can Date Boys When You're 40, and the subtitle, which sort of summarizes it, is Dave Barry on parenting and other topics he knows very little about.
We'll look forward to that. And Ridley, you're working on a couple of new books coming out this spring, too.
Yeah, I have a Kingdom Keepers novel. The final in the series comes out April 1st, and I have a new adult thriller coming out June 17th called The Red Room.
Anything new for you, Rick?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm in auditions right now for a new musical I've written about these two guys who meet in a band, and they and the music is really bad, and so they decide to write a lot of novels instead together.
That sounds awfully implausible to me.
It's a science fiction story, but, yeah. You know, I think I found the human heart of it.
I'm not buying it. I'm just kidding. Let me remind people, Peter and the Starcatcher opens 1 week from tonight. That's Friday, March 7th at the Peabody, with performances Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings. There are also matinees on Saturday and Sunday.
It's so good. You got to go.
And if you'd like more information, here's where you should go, stlpublicradio.org, to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the Peabody Opera House, and you can find out about tickets. It must have been, I can just tell from hearing the three of you talk, what an interesting collaboration this has been.
It's been a real kind of passion project for everybody, and it snuck up on us, I think, and surprised us with how much fun it was to do, and how many people it's affected. And it all started with Dave and Ridley, and my hat is off to them. And I as much as I would love to be in St. Louis, I think I might go to Miami to see Dave because it's warm there and it's so cold in New York. I feel like I'm going to turn into a human igloo any minute now.
Don't do that, Rick. That's Rick Ellis, the playwright. Thank you, Rick, for being here today.
All right. You take care, guys. It's good talking to you, and nice to meet you, Steve.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, take
That's
care.
Rick
take
Ellis
care.
In New York. Dave Barry has joined us from Miami, and Ridley Pearson is here in the studio, and they authored the book Peter and the Starcatchers, which is now Peter and the Starcatcher. Dave Ridley, thank you so much.
Thanks.